Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tite.
And I'm Bonnie North. In cinema history, there have been 37 video game adaptations. Yet the only one that has grasped at success was Tomb Raider, which starred Angelina Jolie in 2001 with a box office record of $131 million.
And in a time where a movie about Legos is vastly successful, it is proven that a movie's content based on toys or games won't alienate viewers. Yet the video game to movie genre can't necessarily seem to get the recipe quite right.
This month, another video game film was released.
There is no other life but war. No, but with the humans' help, there could be.
Why are you here?
To save our people.
Can we trust him?
They're beasts. They should all be destroyed.
Are you sure about that?
World of Warcraft is a 22-year-old game series that takes players, assuming the roles of heroes, into a fantasy world of humans, orcs, dwarfs, and mages.
However, the film adaptation attempts to bring gamers and general audiences alike together. Our film contributor Dave Lorson spoke with Audrey Nowakowski about Warcraft and says it's not surprising that more producers are tapping in to the world of video games for new sources of entertainment.
By some measurements, video games have overtaken movies in popularity, or at least in entertainment dollars spent. Little wonder that the games have become source material for films. The latest example, Warcraft, has been in the works for 10 years, which is seldom a good sign. Surprisingly, writer-director Duncan Jones, best known for the low-key, psychologically driven science fiction film Moon, turned the game into a compelling story, visualized with better-than-usual special effects, and acted with sufficient sympathy by its cast.
World of Warcraft has been a video game that's been out for 22 years, and here's the first film adaptation of it. But it seems like it wasn't a complete failure, but it wasn't a major success either, even critic and box office-wise. So what do you think attributes to this?
For Warcraft? Well, actually, it is doing pretty well at the box office compared to many other video game-based movies. Critically, it's performing as expected. It's getting lambasted by most critics who've never liked video game-based movies. As to that point, I think that critics do have a prejudice against these kinds of things. Most critics do, at least. For a while, I tried to ignore video game-based movies myself, assuming that it's probably going to be kind of cheesy and not very compelling, and I may have been correct about some of the early ones, but certainly, as my interest in video gaming, and I'm not a video game player myself, but I've become more interested in the phenomenon of it and the multiplicity of stories that can result from playing these games, I think it's kind of fascinating. And it certainly is just as good a source of material as a Broadway musical or any of the other things that have been turned into movies in the past. I think most critics still don't get that. As far as the various box office successes of these films, and many of which have not done particularly well, I think that there are two problems. One is that many of these movies are not appealing to non-players of the game. And then secondly, it's probably not unlike the people who have a favorite novel and go to see the movie and they're very let down by it because they left out this character or this should have been this way. And I always imagined that this particular thing would look like that. And you're kind of splitting the hardcore gaming audience for game-based film. So it probably is a tricky thing getting the formula commercially just right. I think that Duncan Jones, who has proven to be a very talented, he inherited a little bit of his father David Bowie's creativity, perhaps, in the DNA or the environment, or both. I think that he made a remarkable debut with the movie Moon back about 8 years ago or so. So I've kept an eye on him, since that time. And I thought, again, not having been exposed to the movie, but I think that it works very well as a fantasy film.
And as you mentioned, there's a long history of video game films. About 37 have been made. I suppose people say the most disastrous would be the Mario film quite a while back. But the one that has held the trophy is Tomb Raider, famously with Angelina Jolie.
Right.
And it still has an untouched record of $131 million in 2001. But as you mentioned, critics kind of put up their noses for video game films, and the industries are having trouble bridging the gap between appealing to, you know, a Comic-Con audience versus a broader spectrum. So what do you think it would take to get a strong video game adaptation to be successful all across the board?
Well, the success of Tomb Raider probably had a lot to do with Angelina Jolie. I mean, so you would want to have a box office superstar or two, maybe in a movie of this kind. You would want to have intelligent writing based within the spirit of the game. Again, a lot of people looked at Harry Potter or Lord of the Rings with a great deal of trepidation. Well, what are they going to do, you know, with these favorite stories of ours? And, you know, and in those cases, the audience was generally satisfied by the results. So it takes a sensitivity to the storyline of the video game. So I think if you can do both those things, have a well-written screenplay and find a cast that will draw in more people than gamers, you could have some success with this. And maybe as I'm thinking about your question, I'm wondering why this hasn't been done more often in the years since Tomb Raider. It seems like a natural, relatively untapped market for an industry that thinks of profit above all else. So apparently just can't really wrap their minds around how to get at this.
Yeah, and I would say video gamers and that audience, if anything, are the most loyal and the most lucrative to tap into with their just devotion to perhaps a series. And this has kind of been accomplished for the most part with Marvel and DC comic movies. But the only person who maybe drew the average viewer in was Glenn Close, of all people, for a character that maybe had a cumulative 5 minutes. And you're like, wait, is that her? Like, yeah, this is the person. But all the other characters in this film and the actors, I just thought that there was a lack of natural chemistry. It seemed like a lot of things were forced. And as you mentioned, perhaps it wasn't strong writing going behind it. But it just seemed like they had a lot going on for the period that they had, just trying to fit in so much of a story within one and also setting it up for another one.
Well, and that's a problem, I think, with anything that's going to be large. You know, Stanley Kubrick famously declared Lord of the Rings to be unfilmable. I mean, he was offered the opportunity, and, you know, he was certainly correct probably in terms of special effects at that time, but he thought the whole thing was just too enormous and sprawling, and how do you really take this thing apart and make a movie or make a series of films out of it? And that is a challenge for video games, because it seems to me that some of these games could be played to infinity, basically, with all the variables and different things that can be explored. So what do you do with that? It is a creative challenge, and we need some greater minds creatively to approach these kinds of projects. I guess, confident that in the future we will have critically acclaimed and commercially successful movies of this kind often. We haven't quite gotten there yet.
And do you think some of the either appeal or it comes to lack of appeal once people have seen the movie and spread the word in a video game such as this that's been going on for over 20 years and the player kind of is in control of the story of their creating, yet when you have a movie, you're not in control of that story?
Well, maybe that's irritating to hardcore gamers. I mean, you want to reach out your hands and no, I want you to be over here instead. That is a very good point. And is that something that's always going to be a stumbling block to the success of these kinds of films? Well, you know, I think it sort of behooves the video gamer to put that aside a little bit and realize, okay, well, I'm entering another medium right now. It's based on something that I've been very engaged with for a long time, possibly. But I'm going to have to sit back now and watch somebody else play the game, essentially.
And what this movie may lack in character development, I don't think it really lacks for in diversity. Now, all, you know, human versus orc aside, obviously that is diverse. There's
right.
Fantasy characters and different kinds of, you know, races and people, and you even get some dwarfs and blood elves in there. But it's diverse in that there's good female roles. You know, the director is very much so about having strong female leads and roles. So what did you think of the integration of the characters outside of the main men and knights and the main orcs who are trying to lead their mission?
I thought that the characterizations were diverse and actually pretty good. I mean, a problem with a lot of fantasy movies and science fiction as well is that often you have one-dimensional characters. They're flat. They represent something. Oh, this is the Starship Commander. This is the evil alien or whatever it may be. And I think that this movie got beyond that to some extent, that the characters in this movie, I had a sense that they had a full existence. Maybe if there is a sequel, and it's possible there will be, that we can explore them to a greater level. But I think that we had a diversity of female character types, very strong women and other women who sort of held back and played the more traditional power behind the throne kind of thing. So I had no problem with that. I think that they approached the characterizations of the characters quite well, better than in many fantasy, sci-fi type films I have seen in the past.
And in addition to having different women characters and even female soldiers on both races, it also emphasizes the whole family concept. And that's something the director said, I want to represent healthy families on both ends of the table, to have that as the main motivation. Besides, here are the orcs, here are the humans, here's good versus evil. There's more of a complex plot behind that and why they're trying to reach one common goal together.
Right. And I think that something remarkable, though, is the family dynamic and the human-like emotions of the orcs. I mean, these weren't simply the usual computer-generated monsters coming up and raising havoc yeah. and causing mayhem and destroying everything in their path.
Very different from Lord of the Rings portrayal
right.
of orcs, yeah.
Right, right. I mean, we're getting inside the orcs now. I mean, J.R.R. Tolkien was looking at the orcs, you know, the way that we might look at an enemy army when we have no sympathy for them. We wanted to defeat them. They're the Nazis or the whatever. But in this film, we're getting inside the world of the orcs. And there are, you know, terribly evil orcs. There are good orcs. There are, you know, orcs that are good and bad. I mean, they're wrestling with, you know, how to interpret the situation around them. What to do to be a good orc, I guess, is in many cases. So, yeah, I found that to be a very refreshing break from the way that non-human creatures are usually portrayed in these kinds of movies.
Right. And there is glimmers of good spots and hope for better development, and this movie does set up plenty of room for a next one.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think that they'll take this feedback and put it into a second movie to come and maybe fix that problem of trying to bridge the gap of video game world and movie industry?
Well, I hope so. And again, I have great confidence in Duncan Jones' ability. If he is chosen to direct the follow-up to this, the sequel to this, I think that he is smart enough to try to incorporate criticism and feedback and to, you know, perhaps be on the way to making the first true masterpiece of this genre.
Well, I hope we will both see that one day, and we'll talk about it in the future.
Okay, a couple years from now, maybe.
Hopefully. All right, thanks, Dave.
Thank you.
Dave Larson is a regular Lake Effect film contributor, the arts and entertainment editor for the Shepherd Express weekly newspaper, and the author of its I Hate Hollywood blog. He spoke with Audrey Nowakowski.